This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The term I'm hearing from so many people is follow the science. Follow the and the only science that they seem to be sitting on is ARCA. What about follow her statements? She's the one on trial. Follow what she said. But people are questioning that. And it's not just like the statements that are made in the heat of the fog of war while all this is going on. I can find some grace there and go, okay, everybody's in a crazy spot right here. People are saying random stuff. I don't know how credible that's going to be at the end of the day, but she's repeating it for months and years later. And that's where it gets to like, okay, this wasn't just a one-off thing. But the science is what everybody is saying. Let's focus on that science. Tell me in a little bit more detail where you think the ARCA science is off and how that's going to be handled by the prosecution.
Yeah, let me say, the science is what should be focused on. Mm-hmm. And this is the science we have.
Yeah.
We have John's DNA on taillight pieces. We have taillight pieces that are embedded in his clothing from that impact mm-hmm. that he suffered. We have one of his hairs that was stuck on the back tail of the car. We have a dent in the car. We have the location of the body not moving pursuant to digital science, if you will. That's the science. And for anybody who's doing a report like ARCA to ignore that mm-hmm. and just have hypothetical, and that's the important piece to remember, hypothetical X's and O's you put on a chalkboard mm-hmm. doesn't hold any weight with me unless you factor in the real science of the DNA.
Yeah, I think there's that certainly. I know another big argument has been the taillight pieces of how are there all these little ones shattered there too. And I've seen like some reconstruction, and I say that in air quotes, done as well. Usually it looks like in somewhat warm weather. I think a lot of people fail to forget how cold it was that day. And when you have plastic and it shatters in extremely cold weather, it makes smaller pieces because it's frozen. And when you hit something that's frozen, it goes into many more tiny pieces than it does when it's not. I think that explains a lot of that. I don't know. I mean, it's just common sense to me, really, why this happens or how it happened and why they didn't see it, because everybody was walking on a crime scene. This was at the grass level, and then it froze. People walked over the crime scene. That becomes a sheet of ice and more snow on top of it. So it does take some time to get to that. Again, a lot of things, I think, being explained in a very palatable way by the prosecution that was not done in round one. The Ring video, another piece that is starting to get some question here. It does appear that there were quite a few pieces of Ring video that were allegedly deleted off of John's security system, except for the one clip that we do see, you know, Karen pulling in, pulling out, hitting the car or bumping the car with the bumper to bumper. But somehow we're going to say it's taillight, even though it's physically not taillight. What do you think about that? Where do you think that's going to go? And what do you think we're going to find out if we get the Ring folks on the stand to explain what happened to John's mystery Ring account?
Oh, I think it's going to be very interesting. And when you combine that to what Mrs. Peggy O'Keefe said, you know, basically she went in, she ran upstairs, beelined upstairs, mm-hmm. at least according, right? That's the testimony. And then left after that with a few articles, right? I think mm-hmm. it was like a small bag or something of her quote unquote things. And that's where the Ring equipment was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just looks bad, you know.
But she can do it on her phone. She could have done it anywhere. I'm curious because I'm going to think we're going to see timestamps from Ring as to when these things were deleted. I mean, it could have been Karen dumping them that morning after everything. She could be in the hospital doing it. She could be anywhere doing it, really.
That's true. And I have Ring, and you're right.
Yeah.
You can do it from anywhere. That's true. You don't have to be on the computer to do it. It's yeah. true. But nevertheless, what did she really do up there? The whole thing was just so odd that you wouldn't beeline toward the kids, that you wouldn't beeline and mm-hmm. hug Peggy. I mean, these people had been in her life for over 2 years,
yeah.
and John said. But you're right. It could have been done. I can't wait to see that timeline. My whole thing is, as I'm sure you're thinking, who else had the motive? Oh, and by the way, didn't you think it was interesting when Bill Reed is outside looking for something in the snow?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. After her statement that she sprinkled parts of the...
I know.
I mean, come on.
I feel bad for him in a way, and I don't, because, I mean, as a parent... I get it. And you're a parent too. You'll do almost anything for your kids. And at that moment in time, there's a lot of chaos going on. And I just wonder how he's feeling now that all the pieces are out there. He's heard everything she has to say, including by his own words that Karen said she believed she hit something. Because he gave that interview to one of the local ABC affiliates, and that's out there. But somehow that, you know, I guess he's lying, or I guess he's making that up. Why would he say that if she didn't say it? That incriminates Karen, something I'm sure he probably regrets saying now. But again, it's just another piece to this puzzle of even her own dad has said things that incriminate her. I don't know why there's so much question here as to what Karen thought happened. It only changed once an attorney got involved and said, Maybe you didn't do it. This spooky man came into my office the other day and said, look at the people in the house. So we dropped everything and we looked at the people in the house and oh my gosh, it's the wizard. Like where, that seemed like something out of a movie of you get this mysterious guy giving you the tip, even though the tip's very vague. Somehow that moves your whole line of the defense to this story. That... Is that it? Is that the only reason they went with this story? Because weird guy shows up and says, look at people in the house?
Well, you're hunting for anything at that point. You've got to find some way to find somebody else that killed John.
Yeah.
Because, but my whole thing was, why did they have to even go there? Why couldn't they have gone with, he fell in the ice. Mm-hmm. He fell back and he hit his head and the glass ended up cutting his arm because he had it in his hand and his hand fell and crashed on that arm and caused those shards to scrape him or something along that line. Why did they have to try to incriminate Jen McCabe and all these others when they could have gone with something that made also plausible sense? She left him there. He left. He literally was drunk. He slips. He's got two glasses, right? We know now that was her, that was his. And that's what cut him. And it was completely an accident.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have gone there? But no, this elaborate. And I thought they might change it in between trials.
Yeah.
I thought they might come to their senses, but they didn't.
No. I mean, it's a plausible theory. If they went down that road, I think Karen Reed would be a free person today. I don't think any of this would be going on because I think people would look at this, reasonable people would look at this and go, this is a horrible accident. Yeah, you were drunk. You got to be culpable for that. Can we completely, without a doubt, prove that you hit him? I mean, now I think you can. But at that moment in time, had all these documentaries not been done, had she not opened her mouth 1,000 times and all this crazy stuff, I think she could have probably gotten off because she wouldn't have incriminated herself that much more that she already has. It doesn't make any sense as to why they just didn't go down that road other than they went down it, they dug in too deep and now they can't get out of it. So we got to keep going down the road that we painted for ourselves. And it just doesn't work, mainly because Karen kept talking. The fact that Karen again said the other day outside of court, I saw him go into the house.
Why? What story are you on, Tony? 5?
Yeah, we're beyond 5. You saw him go into the house now, Karen. Okay, well, you do realize you're on tape saying every other version of this, and you didn't say you went into the house for the first, or he didn't go into the house for the first several days. If that's what you saw, why would that not be the thing you said? Why is this only coming up later? Why, every other thing was, could I hit him? Did I hit him? I hit him. Told her dad she thought that she struck something. But somehow that couldn't have been John O'Keefe, even though he's the dead guy behind your car in the cracked taillight with taillight embedded in his clothes. Gee, that seems like something that's impossible, that you didn't hit the man with the taillight in his clothes. That's probably the thud you heard, Karen. That's probably the something you hit that you told your dad about that morning.
I let him off, and I thought he ran off after me. That was the reaction I was hoping to garner.
That too. the reaction I was hoping to garner. So she's still trying to manipulate him in that very moment.
It's something. You know what? I just hope people really look at facts. What happens is nobody's really paying attention to the facts, yeah, and they just make it up as they go. At least that's what I'm seeing online.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. The one I saw most recently, Tony, and this one infuriated me because, again, it's going after a 17-year-old kid. They said, well, it was, everybody knows that he was killed inside, and and it was only when Karen Reed came that everybody was so happy that they could divert who did it onto her. And I was like, well, no one disagrees that that's how John got there. So how did y'all kill him? And then you were happy when Karen showed up, because then you could say, you know, then it could be looked at as she hit him. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have timeline all jacked up, and people ran with that. And I thought, oh my gosh.
It's such fantastical thinking. And for whatever reason, we are in a place right now in our country where fantastical thinking seems to be the way of life. Facts don't matter. People's own confessions, their own admissions don't matter. All that matters is what you want to believe. And once you've decided that, it must be true. And there's no backing down from it. And it's spooky. It really is spooky. I get why people are saying this is very culty, because it feels very culty when you suspend any objective opinion or belief because you have to go one way and believe a certain thing. I saw something the other day where they're like doing a morning pledge or some sort of shit like that to Karen, and their mission of what they're going to spread the news of. Tell me that's not culty or a little weird.
Oh, that pledge thing was so funny. I actually saw them say they were going to do I think it was that they were supposed to say a prayer, and they started with the Pledge of Allegiance, or they were supposed to do the Pledge of Allegiance and they did a prayer. Not knowing the difference between the two was the point of it. It was so funny. I posted it. But the bottom line is, Lord knows what they're praying or pledging and to whom.
It all seems like fifth grade. Karen's communication seemed like fifth grade. These people seem like they're in fifth grade. Everyone was stunted, and they're all like reliving recess, except John's dead, and there's no bell to call them back into the school to have some common sense.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.